I'll share with you just some one simple thing that's on my heart, and the scripture we can use is 1 Corinthians 12 in verse 25. The reason why this is on my heart is because I visited Pastor Dan Sirigione, who's in a COVID unit down in Laurel. And the body has been awesome. Pastor Butch, a lot of people, Pastor Shibeli, Pastor Hadley's been down to see him. And sitting on the side of his bed and being with him, who is in, you know, serious, struggling with this COVID. And in a way, to be honest, it affected me deeply, like emotionally, feeling sorrow. And when I drove home, I also had some crazy things happen, but anyway, I'll forget that. Driving home, I was just thinking it over a lot, and weeping, being sad, and living in the real world that we are in. Mike Williams, one of our trustees, passed, went to be with the Lord a month ago or so, and he was a great friend. To Pastor Taggart, Dave Stambowski, Pastor Shibeli, Springfield people. And we are with Sue Williams tonight in our hearts and prayer and love. These are real people, real things that happen, that we live in a world that does not deny them. We know what they are. If we go through them, the body of Christ is unique. There's nothing like it. And I want to say a few things about it tonight. I should do this a little differently. How do I get rid of that? Just pushing that? Is that one? Oh, okay. Okay. Many of us live, and many people think about important things. But I want you to rethink this. I want you to think differently. There are important things, but most people live in what we just could say, common, everyday things. Common things, everyday things. You go to sleep tonight, you go home. Probably some of you will eat ice cream before you go to bed. You get up, you'll be tired maybe, or not. You're hungry, you go to the refrigerator. You go to work, you drive a car. You stay home, you work from home. Every people live life. And what I feel has happened in our hearts through the years is that we have enjoyed God, and through God, we have observed life this way with the common things. We have become students of life and of people. We have connected with people, loved people, see people. A woman, a mother, a teenager, a child, an 8-year-old, somebody walking down the sidewalk, a mother putting her child in our school. Somebody eating lunch, somebody sitting alone, somebody sad, you know, somebody saved. They're newly saved. They are saved, and they're spirit-filled and excited. They are amazing, like what God has done in their heart and in their life. When I read the Bible, I look for these common things. I love them, and so do you. But it takes some work to care. It takes some work to sit where people sit. It takes some work to identify a problem or identify a situation and care about it. It's one of the functions of God in our hearts. You see, when people think about God and about the church, sometimes it's so high and so far removed that it doesn't touch my life. Great, you are in, you know, great, there are 700 churches, which is in, needs to be said all the time. But that's great. And these people that are missionaries, and that is great, and I appreciate it. But then, I am just a common guy. I'm a guy that might not be noticed when I walk in here. I'm a guy that, you know, I hardly read my Bible. I don't read my Bible. I'm just a guy that stumbled in here. And I'm just a common person with my truck and my job and my life and where I live and so on, you know. But when God is in our heart, when God is in our life, then there's love. When love is in our life, then we live, and there's some ministry that happens because of God is in you. God is in you, and in 1 Corinthians 12, it says that we have these gifts, and these gifts operate by the Spirit, and they function. And I'm like celebrating it because I'm not telling you anything new, nor am I telling you something you don't know about. That's why we're here. We know this. I have friends for life, probably. I have friends, two people that go after God, and they are very common people, but they go after God, two people, and they connect for the deep calls to the deep. Remember when Moses was so busy in his administration in Exodus 18, and his father-in-law was watching him for one day, and he said, I need to talk to you. You can't do this. You can't do this. My words, you're going to burn out. It can't happen. Who was Jethro, his father-in-law? But somebody who understood ministry. He understood it's not the big important things, you know, those are big and important, and we do not deny them. They happen, and that's part of life for sure. But I want to say something else about ministry. I think pastors can be wrong by always looking for the important thing and not living where people are living and caring about people that need, you know, ministry. It takes effort, I think, to think about there's a marriage problem and do I care? And what could happen? What to do? How to think about it? What could God do? That's a marriage problem. That cannot happen. The problem can happen, but it needs help. There needs help. What to do? How to think about it? This is the nature of love. Love cares, isn't it? Love is there. Love sits. Love is at Lazarus' tomb weeping. And yet he's the resurrection and the life. He's the resurrection and life. Like, no problem. I got it. I'm the resurrection and the life. No. I am the resurrection and the life, but I'm also a man that's touched by this family. And this family, I love them. And I'm with them. I'm with them. Isn't that amazing? There was a woman who lost her husband, right? 2 Kings 4, and had no money. Well, her husband was with the school of prophets. He died, and she's without anything, so she goes to Elijah. Think about it. Elijah cared. Elijah sat with her, so to speak. Elijah felt it. He understood it. And maybe it took some effort. Excuse me. But God told him, this is the key. This is beautiful. God gave a gift. God gave Elijah something. God gave Elijah. Isn't that amazing? I pray for Pastor Shibeli because he's overseeing a lot of work in Africa, and a lot of these things can happen. And he's not that, he's that kind of pastor that does, like, this is a problem. What could God do? How can we help? Now, notice something. And I'm not, and I want you to understand me the right way. How many times do you think I hear the phrase, pray for me? Pray for this. Pray for this. How many times do I hear it in a day? What do you think? 10 times, 15, maybe more, maybe some days. How do I feel? How do I feel about that? It's kind of like on some days, I'm right on it. I mean, someday, every day I understand, but it's beyond my capacity. Can I actually carry your burden before God and pray a fervent prayer on your behalf? I hope so. Right? Do you hear what I'm saying? Do I pray for you? Yes. Do I pray as I ought to? Maybe not. I can't. Maybe. On that day, I don't remember your name. I need to write it in a book. I ask maybe to call to the office and say it. But do you see what I'm saying? I am not a machine, and you are not a machine that's operating some kind of thing by human energy and human some program. This is not a program. We will burn out. You don't come to the church just because it's your duty. You come because you are thinking, God can refresh me. God can give me something creative. There's a great thought. This is a principle that's just jotted down for you. C.S. Lewis said something like this. He said, hell is boring. Hell is boring. It's the same thing over and over and over. Over and over and over. Hell, sin is boring. It is. It's, ask a sinner, are you happy? Are you satisfied? Are you fresh? Is there anything new? Or is it just sin? Sin is death. Sin and death and hell go together. The sin is the end of the road. I mean, hell is the end of the road. It's a crack in the pavement. Hell is nothing. Hell is just a big nothing, a zero. Hell is nothing. But now watch. God is the opposite. There's no end to his creativity. My thoughts with God are new. His mercies are new every morning. How deep is God? How great is God? How capable is God? It's like the ministry, watch. The ministry can be dull and boring because of me, or the ministry can be the most incredible thing in the world because of God. What does he do? He renews you. He builds you up. He refreshes you. He teaches you. Okay, let's go to the verse now. Chapter 1 Corinthians 12, 25. This is also why I like small groups. Organized or unorganized, I like friendships. I like two or three people, friends. I like carloads of people, five in a car or 10 in a van. I like it when people are in the cafe, at the tables, or in a rap session. I like it when we have people that we are close with and deep with in our spirit and heart. I like it when people can sit with us, like Pastor Tom Sliva with the healing ministry. I like it when Pastor Ramir and Pastor Jason and all these amazing, precious people, and many more, all of us. Let me finish. Here it goes. Chapter 12, verse 24 is good. Okay, 23 is maybe where we'll start. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable. So let's go back to this picture. We could even do it this way. Important things, and I'll put here, important people. Important things, and then we have the very common, and I could put in here unimportant people. There aren't any with us. That's the message. But how can I be a student of people if I'm so occupied occupied? So I feel the Spirit of God helps us learn what he is saying here. Look at verse 23. They which think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. We make the effort. We think about it. Many of us who, when we have been planting a church somewhere and God brings a young guy, 16-year-old guy, comes in and wants to hang out with you. It's so much fun. The guy is just an open heart, and he's precious. And he's a believer, or he became a believer. And he just wants to be with you. And you have a few more of those. And you just have a lot of a good time because there's a connection. And the Spirit gives ministry. And the young man starts to realize these people love me. They love me. I haven't even talked to an adult before. Now I'm talking to adults. And they're not laughing at me or making fun of me. Yeah, I feel received. I'm in the group. This is a precious thing that's happening in his life. Verse 24, for our comely parts, by the way, if I am breaking some of your concepts, I don't mind. If I break some of your concepts about me or about the ministry, that's good because I don't think I'm being misunderstood. We're really saying something that I think is very important to us. This is the way it is. Do you know that we succeed by being weak? Do you know that this isn't about pumping up ourselves and being strong every day? and always being victorious and always winning, and nobody dies, and we always win, and we're always on top, and we're always full of muscle and strength. Do you think that's what this is? It isn't. It's spiritual. It's Jesus on the cross, and he ministers on the cross to a common thief and brings him to heaven. And he's weak, and it's God that is loving him. This is where we are living. We are living in like something beautiful. And my point earlier was, you stay refreshed this way. Like you could ask an old saint of God, how do you continue decade after decade and don't wear out? And here's the answer. It's God. And he teaches us how to minister. He teaches us to be caring about everybody in the heart. And we challenge our pride. Here's another little insight, personal testimony. How many times do you think people say to me, great message? Great message, beautiful, amazing. You are amazing. Great message, okay. How many times? That happens a lot. That happens a lot. You know what happens to a man? You know what happens to all of us men? Anyway, leave us alone and get what happens. We're proud. We're proud. The pride comes in. It's in the heart. We are proud. We are proud. This is a danger. This is a terrible thing. It's contrary to God. We are not to be proud. We are to be able to walk away. We are able to be like nothing. We are nothing. We are to able to say, one day I will lose my ability to speak. Then who am I? And one day maybe other things happen. Then who am I? And then one day I'm on a hospital bed. And then who am I? Who are we? Oh, it's amazing who we are. I don't want you to stop telling me it's a good message. I think I need it. I like it and I enjoy it and I agree with you. It is amazing ministry that God has given us. But I don't want anybody to think that any one of us would ever be removed from the possibility of being proud and blind. Proud and blind. And we walk around as, you know, something great, and we think we do great, important things. Great, important things are done. But that's not what the scripture is saying. It's saying the uncomely, the weak, the people in need, the unsaved, that people that can't read, that people that don't know what to read, that people that don't know hardly a thing about their right hand from their left. And there are many of those people. They know very little. They need you. They do. Let's read it and we'll finish. Verse 24. For our comely parts have no need. You could turn to your neighbor and just say, you don't look like you have any need. Fully satisfied and contented. Today. Verse 24. Our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. This is the last verse. That there should be no schism in the body, no party spirits, no party group. You know, if you go to a Presbyterian church, and by the way, I respect everywhere where they preach the word and they are with the Christ, but there can be an economical, there could be a racial thing, there could be everybody in one group, but the body isn't that way. The body is a mystery, and there isn't any group. There aren't any groups. It's multi-racial, multi-denominational, multi-ethnic, multi-economic, multi-educational. There's all kinds of groups that are with us, and we do not mark each other based on the group, because the group isn't here. We are the body. That's the idea. It's beautiful. Verse 25, it says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Care one for another. That's all. Sometimes I feel that, you know, we have an amazing group of people that are caring for so many, unspoken, unknown about, just caring. They are caring. We can't meet needs. We don't run around trying to meet people's needs. No, I don't mean that. We are spirit-filled in the Lord in an unscheduled, off the calendar moment, the Spirit of God uses you to care for somebody. And check your heart. Care for teenagers. Do you care for a teenager? Care. Do I care for the marriages? Do I care for the newborn babies? Do I care for the elderly? Do I care? Okay. Do we care for the, I don't know. Just, Lord, I don't care. Yes. Lord, I care. What do I have to do? Lord. And he says, I show you a more excellent way, and that's love. And what love is, that's another message, but that's this slide here, this one. What love is, this one in the middle, what love is and what love is not, but that's another day. But what I want to finish with this. Do I care? And God cares, so I love it. Off, on schedule. It can be scheduled, like going into a counseling session, have a prayer by yourself. Lord, please help me. It can be scheduled. It can be just spontaneous. It's our joy. It's our phone call. It's our care. It's body life. And I was heartbroken when I was with Pastor Dan. I'm hurting from losing Pastor Mike Williams. And I think we all have somebody in our heart, and we weep with those that weep, and we understand it. But even as we have our sorrow, we have our joy, and our world is continually filled with creativity, with honesty, with trust, with worship, and the reality of his love. And this love never fails. No matter what you put it through, it'll never stop and it'll never fail. Never. Okay? Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, I just pray that these thoughts would encourage us and help build us up. We are the body of Christ, and this is a great mystery. How we could be so weak and yet so strong. How we could be unknowing and yet then know. How we could quit and then never quit. I can't quit. I can't, but then how we as a believer could say, I don't understand, but I'm going to persevere and believe. What a mystery Christ is revealing in this hurting world. And there's so many people that need it. They need a family. They need a chair to sit in. They need ears. They need a new heart. They need a new life. They need to be cared for, understood, directed, guided in faith. And many here have started on their walk and they're continuing in it and not turning back. Don't turn back. Carry on. Move on. And the Lord is going to take care of you all the days of your life. All the days of your life by His grace. In Jesus' name. And anyone listening, you're not a believer, we want you to make a decision tonight and say, yes, I want to be a believer. I want to be a believer. Make a decision in your heart. Say yes to Jesus. And walk by faith in Him. He'll take care of you. In His name, amen.